Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
All right, we're back here with Phil Steele on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Happy to have him back, author of the 2018 College Football Preview Magazine, 352 pages. We're talking to him about two or three of those pages here now, looking at Penn State, a two-page spread for Penn State. If you want to look at previous schedules, you want to look at a very thorough position break.
That's gone from 23 points per game to 38 points per game to 41 points per game. You're going to tweak the offense, but you're not going to change the offense, especially when you have a veteran quarterback like Trace McSorley. So I think you're going to see a very similar offense to what you've seen in past years. There'll be some tweaks, probably a little less reliance on the fact that you remember in past years, like last year, if the defense wanted to take away Saquon Barkley like they wanted to in the middle of the year, they could do so. I think they'll probably get a little away from that. You talked about Miles Sanders, a little bit more of a north-south runner. So I think you might see some tweaks to the offense, but overall it's still going to be the same potent group.
And one of the things that kind of, you know, it shouldn't really surprise me anymore, but really, so Joe Moorhead leaves. Charles Huff goes down to Mississippi State with him. Josh Gattis ends up leaving to go to Alabama. All, you know, you understand the moves there. And there's a potential there when you lose coaches in a little wave like that, especially some of the key faces in the program. But then you see James Franklin and everything that happened beyond that point to fill those jobs and to get people in there who really fit and mesh with what he wants to do. I think it always speaks to how thorough he is and how much of a plan B, C, D, and E guy. But can you just speak to, I guess, the ability to stabilize a potential, you know, unstable situation?
Yeah, and I think when you take a look at it's if you're ever going to have a year to lose your coordinator, you want to have a senior quarterback, and that's what they have. I mean, it's perfect. So I think it's going to be fairly seamless. Now, I do expect a little bit of a drop. I'll tell you, my computer ratings in the front of the magazine project the stats for the upcoming year. Last year, they projected that Penn State would average 41 points per game. They were way off. Penn State averaged 41.1. Well, this year, the ratings in the front of the magazine are calling for a little drop to 35.8 points per game. Still productive, very productive, actually, one of the top offenses in the country, but a little bit of a drop-off with the loss of a player like Deshaun Hamilton, with the loss of a running back like Barkley, and with a little change in the offense. But overall, this is still going to be a very great, good scheme. And like I said, with Coach Franklin, followed him at Vanderbilt, and when he was at Vandy, his teams achieved much greater than what I thought they would. And when he came to Penn State, been talking to him every year, and just looking at the team pages, I remember looking at him the first year, the way he's built this team, top to bottom, first string to fourth string, he's doing a phenomenal job.
He really is, and I think one of the things that you couldn't really be sure with him was the development of guys who weren't blue chip guys. Everybody knew he was a recruiting guy, but I think the thing that has been a little bit surprising to myself anyway is that they've developed a lot of guys who weren't really on the front end of national recruiting rankings. Trace McSorley is a really good starting point as an example for that.
Absolutely. You know, McSorley, when he came out of high school, wasn't one of the top 10 or 20 quarterbacks out there. 6 foot, 188. I don't know if a lot of folks would have projected him to be the type of QB that goes out and hits 67% of his passes, thrown for close to 4,000 yards, 28-10 ratio, great leader of the offense. But yes, the development has been there. And I think that was a question when Coach Franklin was hired. And I think Coach Franklin has answered that, because when he was hired, I talked to a lot of insiders across the country about college football, and they're like, well, we know he's a good recruiter, but I wonder about the development of players. Well, we've seen the development of players, so we know that you know, a lot of those questions are being answered.
Yeah, and with McSorley, you know, I think we've started to see a prototype for what they're looking for, and it's interesting. You know, these guys who are not 6'3", who maybe aren't the most dynamic dual threat athletes out there, they continue to fall through the cracks, and Penn State is pretty happy to keep scooping them up. McSorley's a good example of that, too. You know, one of the things in the offense, and I was curious to see where you had the projected starters at the wide receiver positions. Juwan Johnson, obviously one, somebody who can take a big step forward. DeAndre Tompkins, another. Justin Shorter, you have the true freshman in there as well. Was that an obvious choice for you? Was that based on film for you? Was that based off a conversation with Franklin, or was it some combination of all those threes? How did you arrive at Justin Shorter as a projected starter?
Yeah, probably a combination of the three. Now, I'll tell you this. When I talk to the head coaches, they're going to talk to me in terms of the post-spring two deep. So they're not always going to put a guy like Justin Shorter out there. But I take it from, I mean, you're looking at a guy that's 6'4", 230 pounds. He's a guy that I think is just going to come in and make a big impact. In fact, they've got three quality receivers with Tompkins, Johnson, and Shorter. So this is going to be a pretty good receiving unit, but I think he's a player that can step up and play right away. A lot of times you like to get the coach's feel because we go over every player on the team. You get some comments, pros and cons on each player, and it just seemed like Coach Franklin felt he was ready to play in his first year, and that's all I needed to go ahead and probably put him ahead of where Coach Franklin wanted me to put him, but the magazine says Phil Steele's magazine on it, so I pretty much do what I like to do on that.
It's not the James Franklin College Football Preview. That point that point is taken. I think he hasn't been shy about saying, I'm pretty sure he said he's the best high school receiving prospect he's seen. So he hasn't been shy with the praise exactly, and you only have to really do the math. It's tough to picture a guy coming in late June and really making a run for a job, but I think everything, all the tools are there, so that's exciting for a lot of people. What do you think about the tight end picture? Because you have Jonathan Holland in there as a starter. I think it's a coin flip in a number of directions, and that's one of the things that really stands out. Is it's hard to forecast. Nobody knows much about what any of these guys who are candidates for the job.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a little different this year than what we saw with Gesicki in the past years. Let's face it, Gesicki was an outstanding receiving tight end. Blocking, I wouldn't put it up there with elite blocking for a tight end. Well, the two guys that are taking over, and Jonathan Holland and Nick Bowers, both come in with some pretty good size. Holland's 247, Bowers comes in even a little bit larger than that. These guys can block up front. So I think you're going to see better blocking out of the tight ends. But I don't think you're going to see the receiving numbers that you saw out of a Gesicki with the 57 grabs that he had last year. So it's going to be a little different looking at the tight end spot this year. But you know what? I think they're going to get good productivity out of the tight ends.
So another source of concern, I think, is the place-kicking situation. I wonder, you have Jake Pinniger, the freshman who will arrive, penciled in there too. Do you have any kind of historic or anecdotal data about true freshman kickers whether there's risks or rewards of leaning on somebody who, you know, hasn't been on campus very long?
Yeah, the one thing I've learned about kickers, Dustin, is you don't know what to expect. You go back to Georgia a couple of years ago, they had an All-American kicker coming into the season, and you're thinking he's going to have a fantastic year. He had a horrific year, missed like 12 crucial field goals, then still goes to the Minnesota Vikings, has a fantastic first year, then a poor second year. And kickers is a tough position to coach, but you like leg talent, and I think Pinniger has that. He's very strong leg. He's got good size. He's athletic. So you can nowadays, I mean, if the mindset is there for a kicker, we see a lot of true freshmen playing. Players are more prepared coming out of high school now. Maybe it's not as overwhelming as it used to be. So I think a true freshman kicker can do well.
Let me ask you just, you mentioned you don't have Penn State winning the Big Ten East, and that's fair. I think that's fine. But the four-horse race there, it could go in any number of directions. I think it's been it's one of the more open races since, and I think because Michigan State, the year that they had, the expectations for them, Ohio State doing his thing, Penn State doing his thing, and Michigan, I can't help but feel like Michigan, they really might have been a quarterback away from making a leap, and now with Shea Patterson coming in, that looks like a pretty good group to me.
Yes, and I think when you look now, I'll tell you this, Dustin, last year, and it used to be automatic in my magazine when I did the toughest conferences at the end of the year, all right, the SEC is the best conference. Now, who's number two? And that went on for like 9 straight years. And it wasn't really much of a question. And if you looked at the talent top to bottom, that was always the answer. But now, last year, my top-rated conference was actually the Big Ten. It showed in the bowls. You look at the strength they had at the top, and even the bottoms showed a lot of improvement. A guy like Brohm comes in at Purdue. They did some good things there. I thought Rutgers showed a good enough improvement at the bottom. But to have 5 teams that are capable of being in the top 10, all in the same conference, is really remarkable. And to have 4 of them in the Big Ten East is just that. I mean, Michigan State this year, one of the most experienced teams in the country. 19 returning starters. Brian Lewerke, a quarterback. A defense that had all kinds of question marks last year. Those question marks were answered. They're now a veteran group. You look at their schedule, they do have to play Penn State on the road, but they get Ohio State at home. They get Michigan at home. And the rest of their schedule, very doable. So they're a team that has a great shot at doing it. Penn State, you know, they do have to play Michigan on the road, but they get Wisconsin at home. They get Michigan State at home. They get Ohio State at home. So they've got a nice schedule. Drawing Wisconsin's not easy, but I think Penn State's got the talent to play with them, and both teams rather inexperienced on defense. You look at Michigan. Now, last year they had 1 returning starter on defense. This year they've got 9. That's going to be a nasty defense, as you talk about Patterson coming in. And having a guy like Brandon Peters as well, who played as a true freshman last year, there were times Peters looked good. So they've got good talent at the top 2 quarterback spots. They have probably the toughest schedule of the 3. They have to play Michigan State on the road. They have to play Ohio State on the road. They draw Wisconsin, Penn State at home. So it's a rather tough schedule. And then you look at Ohio State, they just reload every single year. I actually think they might have an upgrade at quarterback. Dwayne Haskins is a guy that I think is going to throw the ball better than JT Barrett did. That's going to open up the offense a little bit. Defensively, they lose a lot of players off the defensive line, but that's probably the deepest defensive line in college football. They do have to play Penn State on the road, and they play Michigan State on the road, but they get the big game against Michigan at home. So really, like you said, it's a crapshoot. Who wins the Big Ten East? But I think it's the toughest conference and toughest division in college football this year.
About 30 seconds here. I like to end this with what your season prediction is record-wise for Penn State.
It's a team very capable of winning the Big Ten if they will take care of those home games. I think September 29th, we'll find out whether Penn State's going to be a Big Ten contender or whether they might get into the second or third. If they can knock off Ohio State at home, I think Penn State can win the Big Ten, but that's a big if at this point.
It all comes down to that. I was surprised a couple weeks ago, USA Today's Danny Sheridan said Penn State was going to smoke Ohio State. I don't know if it's that easy. Phil Steele from ESPN, author of Phil Steele's 2018 College Football Preview Magazine, 352 pages. Phil, thank you so much.
Hey, always great catching up with you, Dustin. Really enjoyed talking football with you today.
Same here, Phil. It's our pleasure. We got Ask Greg is coming up right after this, so we're going to keep asking the experts. Greg Pickle answers your Penn State football and recruiting questions right after this.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.